Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast.
We're back!
It's football season, so you know my partner Graham is here, who is very excited.
I'm
your host as usual, Andrew Baker, here with my co-host as usual, Graham Moen. Hello, Graham.
I mean, who's not excited this time of year? It's August, the sunshine is out, it's warm, and we have football season back, and this season is probably one of the most hyped up Brown seasons that we've had since they came back in 1999.
It's the most, I would say, by far.
I would say the only one that maybe was somewhat close was 2008 after they went 10-6, but we all saw that and went, hey, we beat the Giants that year. We did beat the Giants that year.
Yeah, that was prime time, wasn't it?
It was. It was on Monday Night Football. It was fantastic. I loved every second of it, but I mean, the Browns are going into this year with a lot of expectations. We are going to do more preview, more of the NFL as a whole later on.
If you had to bet right now, Graham, how many games would you say the Browns win?
Can I give you a range?
No.
10?
And I was going to say, don't say 14.
No, 10.
I think I'd say 9. And if I said that, a lot of Browns fans would be like, what are you talking about? Only 9?
I think
that's where we're at right now, is 9 wins would be considered a disappointment for the
Browns. Well, I mean, the Browns with the talent they have and with the way that they played at the end of last season, I mean, there is expectations for them to challenge for this division and challenge for the AFC as well.
Yeah, the Browns are expected to be a playoff team, and that's how it is now. And that's what happens when you have a really good front office and a bunch of skill position players.
I mean, in the last 2 years, we've added Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Callaway, like all these top tier players on our team, Kareem Hunt. We've added all these players on our team in our
Olivier
offense.
Olivier Vernon,
Sheldon Richardson. Who else? Denzel Ward. Demarius Randall, Terrence Mitchell.
It's pretty insane.
Literally, all of our team is pretty much brand new from 2 years ago, and we have so much talent now that really a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today doesn't concern for once the starters and worrying about them having to step up, because you look at that offense, I think we're pretty good on offense when it comes to starters.
It's funny because normally going into the preseason, as a Browns fan, you're thinking, all right, who is starting here?
Which one of these 8 quarterbacks?
Who's starting there? Do we have a legitimate quarterback on the roster, et cetera, et cetera? And you and I were making our list of kind of topics to discuss today before the first preseason game started. And it's just kind of like, so who's going to be the third string defensive tackle? And it's a great place to be as a Browns fan for sure. It's a really exciting time. And, you know, like you said, this roster has been overhauled, as we all know. And thank God for John Dorsey. And also, there was yet another edition of Thank God for John Dorsey today, because the long-awaited trade of Duke Johnson has finally happened.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time. Browns fans that were holding out hope that maybe they could figure this out. I mean, he had requested a trade. He had said it publicly that he wanted that trade. He hired a new agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who, for those who don't know, in the NFL circles, is probably one of the most powerful agents in that circle, if not the most. He has a lot of big clients, so I think it's really – it was once you saw him come in, you could definitely see that with a change in representation that Duke was on his way out. It was just a matter of negotiating it, and they were able to do that.
And it's funny because I think a lot of teams would have just given in or would have traded him earlier. But I think that John Dorsey, whether he's trading for a player, he refuses to give up too much. He says, this is what I'll give you, and that's as far as I'm willing to go. And you know, we saw it with Odell Beckham, where the Browns got OBJ for what most teams around the NFL considered to be, you know, a small amount of compensation for the type of player he is.
We sold Odell Beckham.
Yeah. And now you're looking at this Duke Johnson trade. He's been traded to the Texans. He requested a trade months ago, and John Dorsey pretty much just said, well, nope, he's an essential part of the team. We're not trading him, blah, blah, blah. And he held the line pretty firm. And I think the timing on it is great, because now you can go into the preseason games with a clear expectation of what your depth chart is at running back.
And there was also a need for the Texans as well, because they released Donta Foreman, a running back for them, and they didn't really have another proven person behind Lamar Miller. So
Lamar Miller is like the most boring running back.
And Lamar Miller is, he's an average to above average running back, starting running back. And adding Duke Johnson into that mix with his dimension as a pass catcher and his ability to get out and run outside the numbers, especially, he can do a little bit in between the tackles. That's not his strength, but if they can get him in some zone runs and some outside schemes and then get him the ball. Cause you know, that offensive line for the Texans is not the best. He's probably going to get a lot of dump offs from Deshaun Watson. So he's actually going to be probably a very big need for them. And that's what happens this time of year with training camps. People go down or people don't end up being what coaches or the front office expect them to be. And all those Browns fans that were worrying about the compensation that we were going to get, well, we ended up getting pretty decent compensation. What was it? So you tell them?
The Browns got a fourth round pick for Duke Johnson that becomes a third round pick if he's active for 10 games.
So again, it's not if he plays, it's just if they suit him up on that roster.
And so more than likely, unless Duke Johnson does something terrible and gets suspended, which
is
highly unlikely, or unless he blows his knee out,
yeah,
the Browns are getting a third round pick for the running back who was third string on their roster. And look, so
they also drafted him with a third round pick. So you're basically getting back what you got.
It's very rare. I would say almost unprecedented in the NFL for someone to get this much for a player that they weren't going to use. And I think, you know, I still wish that Duke Johnson was just the Browns' third running back or second running back, and they wouldn't have, you know,
gone after Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
I would. No, I agree with that.
You know, you and I talked about the Kareem Hunt signing. We both were not especially happy with it because, you know, we don't really want.
We didn't really need him.
We didn't need him, and we don't really want a low character player on the roster. But that said, putting aside, you know, Kareem Hunt's unfortunate track record off the field, purely in terms of a football, the Browns have signed a borderline top 10 running back.
They might have two top 10 running backs.
For the minimum, and traded their third string running back for a third round pick, most likely. And I like Duke Johnson a lot. I think he's a good player. But for the Browns, it's a home run trade. And it just continues to show that John Dorsey just does not lose trades. And
well, he like you said, he holds a firm line.
Yeah, he holds a line.
If someone was going to offer a fifth or a sixth round pick for Duke, he would have been like, screw you guys, we're just going to keep Duke. Because he could still be a big part of our offense. But if
to get a likely third round pick for your third string running back is really incredible.
Yeah, if someone offers that to you, you realize that that's a good opportunity. And that's when you take the advantage. The Browns don't need fifth, sixth round picks anymore. If they're going to get a pick, they need someone that's day one or day two, things that are going to help them. Because they need players that are going to make an impact for them sooner rather than later now. It's not a 2 or 3 year window. Rebuilding thing anymore. It's time to win if you're a Browns player. Yep. So getting this trade, even though you don't get someone directly back, that is going to help you in the future for being able to sustain this product.
Yeah. And anytime John Dorsey has a pick in the first, second, third round.
Actually, he's not very good in the third round.
Well, that's fine. But I still trust John Dorsey as a drafter.
Yeah, I do as well.
There's still a couple of third round picks on this Browns roster right now that from John Dorsey. The track record is, you know, totally unclear as to what's going to happen. But still, John Dorsey is just terrific. And it's a pleasure to watch him just manipulate other teams into giving up more than they should or not taking on as much as they should. And I think – so I've been banging the drum for Dontrell Hilliard for two seasons now.
I like him too. He's a good player.
He's mostly been like a end of game in blowouts type player, kick returner type player for the Browns. But I think Dontrell Hilliard is a legitimate NFL running back. He's not a between the tackles guy. Mm-hmm. He's not a goal line guy, but he can catch the ball. He's fast and he can make guys miss. And I think for a backup running back on a team that has a clear in a way feature back in Nick Chubb and a bunch of really good receiving options, I think the Browns can totally get by with Dontrell Hilliard as their backup running back in the first half of the season until Kareem Hunt comes back.
And we saw the Browns get weird last year with players running the ball. We saw Jarvis Landry run a couple counter plays. Like, if they want to run the ball and get creative, they'll get creative. That's just part of how Freddie Kitchens is. But it's like you said, we have Nick Chubb, who in 1 year we already saw looks like he's going to be our feature back for the foreseeable future. I mean, and on top of that, this offseason, he's been getting a lot of rave reviews in terms of his development, in terms of pass catching, which was his biggest weakness, probably that in pass protection coming to the Browns, coming from Georgia, because he just wasn't asked to do that.
It certainly wasn't running the ball.
No, I mean,
because that guy's a beast.
I mean, he was probably the best running back there between him and Sony Michel from the New England Patriots, who still is a good guy in his own right. But Nick Chubb just has that. He's so huge and so wide, but he also has just that burst that he has is unbelievable. Like some of the, like those runs like that he had last year where he just went 80 yards. I was amazed. I did not think he was that fast. Yeah, and it was unbelievable.
You don't see a lot of 230-pound running backs beating defensive backs.
My jaw dropped on that Oakland run the first time we saw him because he went like 65 yards and no one caught him. And this guy weighs like 225. it's unbelievable.
And I think that's the point about Duke Johnson is I really like Duke Johnson as a player. I like him as a person too. And I never think that he really got used the correct way in Cleveland. He never got enough carries. He never got enough, you know, kind of burn in the passing game. And he was just always underutilized. And
yeah,
I think with Nick Chubb around, and I think Dontrell Hilliard can capably fill Duke Johnson's role. He's not as good as Duke Johnson, but I think he can fill that role.
He's going to hold the fort down for probably 8 to 10 games until Kareem Hunt comes back and starts getting comfortable. Because any Browns fan that expects Kareem Hunt to come back and I think it's week 10 because we have a week 9 bye and just immediately go back to what he was with Kansas City, you're just wrong.
Well, and guess what? Kareem Hunt's the Browns' number 2 running back.
Yeah.
And he's arguably a top 10 running back in the NFL.
Right.
It's a pretty good place to be in.
Yeah, so the Browns, luckily the Browns are in good hands or else they wouldn't, I don't think they would have made this trade because Duke is, like we said, Duke's a very talented player and I'm sad to see him go, but I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities in Houston. I wouldn't be shocked this year if he gets close to 70 catches for them.
Yep. Well, Texans have an explosive offense. It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I just hope we can see a Duke Johnson that's utilized properly because he can put up some good numbers.
I will watch the Texans even more now so to see him. Because I really did like him a lot. I really loved him when we drafted him. And I always felt like he was underused.
Yep.
And now if another team uses him, that's awesome. And I'm happy for him. I wish it was with the Browns, but
that third round pick is pretty good.
That third round pick is if you can get back what you traded for, what you drafted a player, I'd say that's pretty good.
It's really rare too.
Yeah.
So once again, John Dorsey is a wonderful, wonderful general manager. And I love him.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other topics to discuss. Kind of like almost like a preseason preview. We're going to save our big time season preview for a different podcast since the preseason hasn't even begun. But there are some things to watch. Like we said, it's not necessarily watching who's going to be the starting quarterback. This is not Tim Couch versus Kelly Holcomb, you know. But
darn it,
there are definitely some things to watch for the Browns in the preseason, and we will discuss them all after this short break. And we are back. So, things to watch for the Browns during the preseason. I think, like we said, this is almost exclusively backup positions, which is a really great place to be in.
Yeah.
And I think in the first preseason game, you might see a lot of starters not play, and that probably goes to the fourth preseason game.
I have a feeling
as well.
Tonight we're going to see pretty much the second team.
They've got to give us like one series of OBJ, right? It's a home game.
That's
like,
my hope.
They've got to give us one.
Is that they go at least one drive, and if they go three and out that drive, at least one drive that at least like has some one explosive play.
And it's like, playing the starters is really not important right now because, the second and third preseason games are usually kind of the tune-up games, especially the third one.
Like you should play one drive
and
max.
And OBJ has had several injuries before. And
especially
I think
leg injuries.
The Browns should keep him in bubble wrap, but they got to give the fans one series at home.
But at
right?
the same time, you also want to see them go against another team and see how the chemistry is going with them. So, again, like Andrew said, I definitely wouldn't give them more than
just a series or two. Just give us one.
Two is pushing it.
Just give us one OBJ one-handed catch.
Just give us like a five-minute drive. Just give us like a five-minute drive where we can see everything in the offense. Just like ideally you could see Nick Chubb running the ball, getting some yards. Odell catching the ball on a slant, his signature slants, and taking it another 15 yards. Jarvis making a tough catch.
Well, it's kind of sad for Browns fans because Browns fans are just so hype right now. And the second and third preseason games are both on the road.
I know. This happens every time.
Starters get like no rub at home. But you know what? If the Browns win 10 or 11 games, no one's going to
care. That happens a lot with the Browns, actually, now that I think about it. They never get their third preseason game at home.
Watching the fourth-string quarterback try and win a game is always classic because the offense is just never in sync.
I hope you like Baugh because that's going to be who it is, the undrafted kid from Purdue.
Yeah, so speaking of backup quarterbacks, I think one thing to watch is whether Garrett Gilbert is actually a legit backup quarterback.
He was the AAF best quarterback of all time.
Yeah. So AAF and NFL are two different things. I think a lot of the beat writers seem to think that the Browns' backup quarterback may not be on the roster right now. It wouldn't shock me if Garrett Gilbert kind of struggles throughout the preseason if the Browns trade like a sixth or seventh round pick for a kind of a veteran cast-off backup. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that would be unwise because I think right now if Baker Mayfield gets hurt, you're looking at the Browns' season's completely tanking.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying it's, Garrett Gilbert, if he comes out and has a decent preseason, could establish himself as the legit backup quarterback because he and Baker Mayfield have a good relationship.
I'm still under the thought, we can't change it now. We should have kept Tyrod Taylor, to be honest, because he was a veteran quarterback that you knew would be steady, wouldn't turn the ball over, and he could at least be that leader on the team. He wasn't amazing, but at the same time, what he signed for with the Los Angeles Chargers was nothing. We could have paid him that to be our backup.
Yeah, I just think John Dorsey's so careful about who he spends money on.
Right, and I get that.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but...
But what didn't he get, like, what, $4 million?
It was, like, 3 years, like, 14 or 15, something like that.
So, yeah. Like, we could have paid him $4 or $5 million a year to be a backup.
Yeah.
So, like, Garrett Gilbert is going to have to be someone that's going to have to step up, because I don't think the Browns...
What do you expect to see from Garrett Gilbert? What do you expect to see?
Well, we know he has a good arm, and we saw that both at Texas when he was at college there. He was a high recruit coming out of there. He was actually that player that that had to come in for Colt McCoy when Colt McCoy got knocked out in the national championship game. He's got a good arm. He has some mobility. His accuracy is hit or miss. I mean, if we can see some consistency from him and just making sure that he's not having too many bad plays, too many bad throws, and timing issues – that's what you want to see out of a quarterback. Just a quarterback that can manage the situation and just get the ball in the positions of our playmakers to make plays if for some reason Baker were to ever go down.
Tyrod Taylor got 2 years, 11. The first year is $6 million guaranteed. Second year is $2.5 million guaranteed.
We could have done that for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like you said, backup quarterback, and for a lot of teams in the NFL, if you have a really good quarterback, most teams don't have a great backup because you just know that if your quarterback gets hurt, the season's over.
Well, I also think that, especially considering that Baker's on a rookie contract, the Browns could have, you know,
right,
ponied up. But,
they are paying Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry a lot of money.
That's the thing, is the Browns are taking advantage of this time. And that's how a lot of NFL teams have a really good couple-year run if they have a good young quarterback.
Yeah,
and then when
that's been the new norm.
And then when it's time to pay the rookie quarterback, they have to cut a lot of players around him. And right now the Browns are in that period where Baker's on his rookie contract, so they can pay, like you said, Jarvis Landry and OBJ big time money. Maybe right. In the future it's only one of those guys. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I'm hoping that Garrett Gilbert can look decent enough that the Browns can just roll into the season with him as their backup. But he's going to have a pretty solid preseason for us to not be going really, really scared every time Baker gets hit.
Because I don't want Drew Stanton to be the backup.
Drew Stanton's an ideal third quarterback. He's basically a coach.
Right.
And but Baker you don't likes want him having, in games. That's
and
sure.
Baker likes having him around. So that's an important thing.
He's like a coach.
So if for some reason they don't, if he doesn't make the team and they go someone else, they should keep him as a coach.
Hey, you know what? Maybe if injuries get real bad, maybe Ryan Lindley can come off the sideline and put the helmet back on.
He was the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
Another battle, I would say arguably the most important battle the Browns have going on right now.
Yeah.
Is the right guard battle. Austin Corbett was picked before last season.
He was the first pick of the second round.
Yeah. Last season was kind of a lost season for him. He had to move around a little bit. He was tried out at left tackle. He ended up playing, you know, a little bit of center, a little bit of guard. This year, he's been playing starting right guard, backup right guard, and backup center. He's been rotating around. They've also been rotating in Eric Kush and also Kyle Kalis. But mostly, it looks like Corbett versus Kush for the right guard battle.
And Kush has been the last, like, 3 or 4 days, he's been going with the first team. So it looks like there might be some separation happening. Corbett's been the second team center.
It seems like Corbett is the presumed starter, and he's the guy the Browns really want to win that job, and he's been given every opportunity.
But it seems
like Kush has outplayed him.
And
Kush last year was a phenomenal pass blocker, which is less important for a guard than it would be for a tackle, but it still matters.
It's important. I think it's important for the Browns specifically because we have a shorter quarterback.
And I think
having that interior – being able to pass protect so he's not getting people up in his face is super important.
Very true. That's a good point, Graham, because last year, one of the reasons Baker was so good is because the Browns' interior defense offensive line was
Zeitler,
phenomenal.
Zeitler, Treader, and Betonio, so he never had a push in the middle of the pockets. Usually he had someone coming from the edge, and he just had to escape the other way.
Well, and plus right tackle is, you know.
Hubbard has looked better from what I've heard. Yeah. Hopefully James Campen is just spending a lot of time. The offensive line coach is just spending a lot of time working on technique with these guys. Cause I think that was the biggest problem for the tackles last year was technique specifically. Yeah. We know Greg Robinson can hold it down in run blocking. We just need him to pass block.
And the thing, that's the thing is, so, you know, Treader is still really good. He was a warrior last season. He's still really good.
He's definitely
Betonio, emotional
leaders on that offense.
Betonio is still a borderline Pro Bowler. He's a legitimate starter.
Oh, he's a Pro Bowler, bro.
Yeah, he's
one of the best guards in the league.
Yeah. And then you've got, after that, you know, Greg Robinson had a pretty good run last year for the Browns.
Especially after the coaching change, he really did a good job because Baker Mayfield pretty much didn't get hit.
And reports are that he's looked pretty good in camp so far. I'm really want to watch him, especially early in the season, to see how he looks. Because if the Browns can take this scrap heap guy and turn him into a legitimate franchise left tackle.
I mean, this dude was a bust. He was the third overall pick and thrown away by two different teams.
Yep.
So the fact that he came in and performed as well as he did last year after coming in after the whole failed Desmond Harrison experiment. He really did a good job at protecting it. And I think the scheme that Freddie Kitchens wasn't implementing last year was helpful because it allowed a lot of quick strikes and a lot of decisions where they didn't maybe have to hold someone as long. They also got lucky sometimes with some of the pass rushers they faced. He's going to be facing some really hard pass rushers this year, especially including week one of Tennessee. He's going to be facing some really difficult pass rushers. So he's going to get a test right away. And we talked about it a little bit beforehand. I mean, this is a make or break year for Greg Robinson. If he shows that he's an at least above average left tackle, he's going to stay around long term. Yeah. He's going to stay around and be the Browns' left tackle for the foreseeable future.
And this may be a make or break year for Corbett as well. I mean, I don't think he'd get cut because I think at minimum he's a quality backup.
Right.
But, you know, Corbett was a guy last year who it was just, well, he doesn't necessarily have a role right now on this team and he'll be the right guard next year. And if he can't win the battle this year, you know, that doesn't look good for him.
But let's just say there were other guards that were taken behind him that have succeeded. And that's why, we want him to succeed so bad.
Yeah, and it seems like when he got drafted, I think usually when John Dorsey and his front office draft a player, they have a clear idea of how they want to use him. And it seemed like Corbett was a guy that just liked the talent and they were going to figure out the fit later. And I think that might have hurt him last year.
Right.
But I think Eric Kush was a really good signing because he was given backup kind of, you know, borderline fifth starter money for an offensive lineman. And I think at minimum he could be average. I do think the right side of the line is a little bit of a question, you know, with Kush and with Hubbard. But if those guys can be average and the other three offensive linemen you have are good, that's really not bad.
Yeah.
To have the situation. The question is, once again, is Corbett going to finally go ahead and win this job, or is Kush just going to have to hold it down for the year, you know?
Right.
But I think the Browns have good depth on the offensive line, and that's something that's really good because if someone gets hurt or if someone really doesn't play well, they do have options to replace them.
Right, I agree. And then another place where, my God, we have receivers, Andrew. This is something we kind of disagree on. I think there's five that have already for sure made the roster. And I think it's really just a battle between for the number six spot.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I mean, we know that OBJ and Landry are the starters.
They'll make the team.
We know
Higgins will make the team.
We know that Higgins is the number three right now.
Callaway will make the team unless he shows up hot, like with a blunt in his hand, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Or unless he just drives his Lambo on the practice field drinking beer.
Or like into a tree or something. Yeah. You know, basically he has to do something really bad to not be on the team because he'd showed a lot of flashes last year.
To be fair, that's not out of the question. But
I think with OBJ and Landry there with him, I think he has those veterans to help him. And he has a player close to him in Higgins who he's seeing work. So I think that'll help him. Well, and
the problem with Callaway is he showed up to camp out of shape.
Yeah, he was pudgy.
For a guy who, you know,
I saw pictures.
He got drafted as a guy who was pretty questionable character-wise. Yeah. Maybe not as a person on the field, but just off the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year he had a couple incidents. And
he was also inconsistent the first half of the year.
And he had a pretty good rookie season, and you really want a guy like that to show up in amazing shape.
He was really good at the end
of last year. That he's ready to step up.
Yeah.
And he showed up out of shape, and that leaves some question marks. But I think he'll be the fourth receiver.
Yeah.
Now, the fifth receiver you're talking about that you think is guaranteed
is
Derek Willis.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a very strong chance he makes the team because, A, he's shown enough receiving talent to matter, and, B, he's a core special teams player.
He's been really consistent in terms of catching the ball.
Yeah.
And – by the way, if you look at those guys that we named, the Browns don't have a big target. Yeah. Derek Willis is that big target.
Yep.
He's 6'4".
Yep.
And 6'4", like 220.
OBJ is a great red zone target, but it's just because he's so good. It's not so big.
But
I think Njoku's the main big guy we have right now.
I'm not saying you have to get a guy just because he's big, but because Willis also moves really well for someone of his size. He has really good quickness, and he has pretty good speed. He doesn't have great burst, but he has good enough.
I really like Willis.
I do. If he shows consistency with his hands, which I think is just the biggest thing for any receiver, he'll definitely be on this team, and there could even be times – and if someone goes down, we know that Willis is going to be there, and he can provide consistent production for us.
Yeah, the sixth receiver, I think the Browns will likely keep six.
I think
just,
so, too.
Just because they have enough talent among the group to have a sixth, and because – whoever the sixth guy is can probably play special teams. So the candidates for the sixth spot are Damian Ratley, who was kind of a project draft pick for the Browns last year. And he was forced into action early. He didn't look ready, but he didn't look terrible.
He looked okay, yeah.
He looked like he could become an NFL receiver at some point. He's got good size.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Strong, who was a third-round pick of the Texans a few years back,
Yeah.
Really talented. He's just never put it together. He's supposedly having a really good camp for the Browns.
He's a really good, like, catch in traffic guy, which
the problem for
you need.
Yes. The problem with Strong is he's never been a special teams player before. And if you're the sixth receiver on the roster,
you're playing special teams.
Yes. I think the Browns want to keep him, but they may end up keeping someone else just because he can't play special teams. Or maybe they throw him in there at special teams during the preseason to see how he looks. Or
they're just trying to play up his value and then trade him to maybe fill another hole. Because if he's playing really well and some team needs a receiver.
Maybe they could even sneak him on the practice squad. Who knows?
Right. I don't even know if he's eligible anymore because he's been in the league for so long. But
still, it'll be interesting to see because
he has impressed during camp.
Yeah. And if he has a great preseason, it's hard to kick him off the team.
And that's two big guys that you could bring in sometimes if you needed a little change up. They wouldn't play a lot of snaps, obviously, as the five and six receivers. But having those big guys you could throw in every now and then if you just need someone to catch the ball in traffic and then just get down.
Well, and
that's what Jalen Strong does.
Well, you know what? If OBJ misses a couple games to injury, which is, I would say, likely that he misses at least a couple.
Or if Jarvis has to go off the field for a couple plays or something.
If he punches someone in the face. Or if Antonio Callaway, you know, has something off the field.
Or if he gets suspended.
Cut. You know, this sixth receiver, fifth receiver, those guys could get some play during the season.
And they could actually be, like, good contributors, too. Not just, like, below replacement level. Like, that's what's nice about this receiving battle is I feel like we have guys that could step up if necessary, and you're not just throwing guys out there like the Browns have done several times.
No one's making the roster by default.
I don't think anyone's overwhelmed.
They're making it because they're legitimate candidates.
Yeah.
And that's what I like to see.
Because there's also Hyman, who is a guy who's been really explosive in camp. He's played special teams, and there's a chance he could make the team as a special teamer. Yeah. Ratley, at this point, probably isn't going to make it just because he hasn't practiced.
He could end up on the pup list or something. Yeah.
If they can find a way to sneak him on the pup list or on the practice squad, because, again, he didn't show a lot last year, so would.
But he showed enough that some team that doesn't have depth.
Some team would pick him up, so it would be kind of hard to put him there, but I think he's worth trying to find a way to keep around, but if he's not rosterable, you're going to have to find a way to around that.
Hyman strikes me as a potential practice squad guy.
Yeah, he could definitely be a practice squad guy, but I really think if we keep six, I think Willie's is pretty much like 90% locked in, and then I think if Jalen Strong keeps it up, he's going to be in too.
Willie's has shown flashes of being a legit NFL receiver, and he's a good
special teams player. Many different tools. Like I said, he's 6'4", 220, he's got speed, he's got agility, the only reason he was undrafted is because he was just raw.
My dream is that Derek Williams has 800 yards as the Browns' third receiver in like 2 years.
Yeah, I think he has shown the tools necessary that he could eventually get to that point. And I think right now having him as a fifth receiver would be a great depth option for the Browns.
Yeah, the offense is, you know, we know that quarterback, running back, wide receiver at the top are all locked in. Most of the offensive linemen are locked in. The question is backup quarterback, the battle at right guard, and depth at wide receiver. The defense is, I think, a little less clear. I mean, the Browns have a really good starting defensive line, but those guys haven't played a lot, and that's fine. You know, you don't want to put too much wear and tear on your linemen during the preseason.
Especially Myles Garrett.
Right. And Sheldon Richardson's an older veteran.
Yeah.
But one question for the Browns on the defensive line is backup interior defensive line. The Browns are very thin, and they have a lot of guys who, unlike the wide receiver group, might make the roster by default. I think this is a spot where the Browns could potentially claim someone that gets cut late in the preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of looking at Trevon Coley, Carl Davis, and Devereaux Lawrence right now as your backup interior options. And none of those guys are really inspiring anybody.
Coley's a solid depth option. I think he'll make the team because he has that experience and he's played as a starter before. So if need be, he can be replacement level as a starter. Like he won't wow you, but he can be replacement level. And then Carl Davis
he's a goal line plugger.
He's a plugger. If they need to put someone in on first down just to like stop the run or something, if it's like an obvious running situation, he could be an option. Devereaux Lawrence, we kind of just traded for last year. He hasn't really shown much. I don't even know if he'll make the team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, backup D tackle is important, but at the same time.
Well, there's someone you like, though, a fourth one.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name again.
Ekwuale.
Ekwuale, yeah. He is a project, and I think the Browns really want to keep him. He's been really impressing. Yeah, he could either be a practice squad, or hey, if they don't want to keep Devereaux Lawrence or Carl Davis, maybe he makes the team as the fourth defensive tackle.
I think Myles Garrett could play inside in some positions. I think
Chris Smith could as well in nickel packages. I think Olivier Vernon could even slide inside if necessary.
Chad Thomas is a guy who I think
he'd be a great, he'd be great if he could, if he's good, decent.
The Browns, we know they have a good starting four. We know Sheldon Richardson's getting kind of older.
And then they have Avery as well.
Yeah. So that's, we know that Olivier Vernon has been hurt a couple times. Mm-hmm. We know that Zettel is a really solid backup defensive end. And we know that, at least I think so, they have another solid defensive backup end, especially if you want to play Avery there.
Yeah.
I think Chad Thomas is a major wild card for this team because he was a third-round pick last year.
Right.
Had a completely lost rookie season.
Yeah.
He got in a fight early in camp, and you're thinking the Browns got to cut this guy. But apparently he's made some plays in practice. I think if Chad Thomas has a strong preseason, he will make the team, clearly. Mm-hmm. And I think because of his size, he could be an option. He has a size and athleticism combo where he could play sometimes out, sometimes in.
Yeah.
And I think he has the potential to be a versatile, really solid backup option that can play anywhere on the line. The question is whether he's motivated enough and whether he's improved enough from his rookie season to really matter on the team. But yeah. I think ideally he could be a really solid piece for the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, on passing downs, I mean, the four down linemen that you that are starting will be the four down linemen on third downs. And then they'll probably bring Avery somewhere in that aspect, or if they want to move someone inside and Oaken, if one of them's hurt, and then bring Avery off the edge, or even just move someone inside to bring Avery off the edge anyway. I mean, we have depth on the edges, but yeah, D tackle, we need to figure that out just because that could be an issue if we don't have something up the middle. People could gash us like they did last year, where they just gash you up the middle of running the game. So that would be a big concern. That would be my concern about the D tackle. I mean, I think the thing that's more interesting to me though is this linebacker tandem, because other than Christian Kirksey and Joe Schobert, there really is not someone that you're saying, yes, absolutely, that person's going to play a lot.
Yeah, so the group is Adarius Taylor, who was signed to be...
He's depth.
He's depth, but, you know, he was kind of the presumed starter just because there was no one else there. He's kind of a depth option, special teams guy who could start if necessary, but he hasn't played much so far in the camp. You've got Ray Armstrong, who's kind of just a...
He's usually a special teamer.
He's a special teamer, but he's starting for the most part in camp right now because they don't have a lot of options and they don't want to start the rookies and guys have been hurt. I think he's kind of a placeholder guy. You've got Jannard Avery, who last year was a monster pass rusher and really raw in every other category.
He's not in coverage, which is why I don't really think he's a linebacker, but if that's how you put him on the roster, then
I think he's a guy who's a pass rusher.
I think he's a stand up. He's either a stand up pass rusher or he puts his hand in the dirt.
Yeah. And I think he can drop back every once in a while, but primarily you want him attacking the line.
If he's dropping back, I want him on like short routes, like flats.
Yeah.
Like I don't want him having to move in the middle of the field.
Well, no, he's 270.
Well,
I mean, he's not chasing wide receivers around.
Or he's not chasing.
Or
not,
if he is, it's a problem.
He's probably not chasing tight ends either.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. He's a linebacker in the essence of a position, but he's really just a pass rusher.
Well, and the Browns have Sione Takitaki, who's a third round pick, but
he's going to get ejected at some point.
Well, he's so raw that I don't think he's an option to start.
He's going to get kicked out of a game.
Also got Mac Wilson, who is kind of the opposite of Takitaki, but I think they've got a lot of interesting names at the linebacker spot, but there's no clear starter. And a point that you made to me earlier before we were discussing this is, truthfully, you know, that third linebacker is not going to play a lot of snaps because the Browns are going to be playing.
The Browns have been playing a four defensive linemen, two linebacker, five defensive backs a lot. That's why Jermaine Whitehead's been getting a lot of time with the first team because they're playing three safeties.
Yeah, the Browns are going, and the Browns have really good depth in the defensive backfield.
Yeah.
But so that third linebacker spot isn't going to be like, you know, in the old school NFL where you play three guys almost every snap. But, you know, it does matter who's that third linebacker, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they mix and match, you know, those guys and how they use them in different roles to kind of see, moving into the regular season, who's going to get the most playing time in first down and passing situations, who's going to get the most playing time on third down.
I just wish you could mash Takitaki and Wilson together because Takitaki is really good at playing downhill. That's kind of his thing, but he's struggled in coverage. Yeah. And then Mac Wilson's the exact opposite. His reading and reacting when it comes to running plays and stuff like that is not that great. Well, he can cover, and he's looked really good in practice
recently. That's why those guys were third and fifth rounders instead of second rounders. But I think they're both talented, especially Mac Wilson. I mean, he dropped mostly because of character concerns.
I think they both will carve out roles in this team and being able to play in certain – I think Takitaki you'll see a lot more in early downs. And then Wilson, you could see more maybe if they need a third linebacker in passing downs. If they don't want to play four down linemen, they could play a 3-3-5.
They could both play along the goal line.
Right.
They're both good tackles.
So I think both of those guys will have roles on the team. Armstrong, I don't know yet. Avery will obviously have a role. And then Ardarius Taylor probably will be mostly a special teamer.
Yeah.
So I think the Sam linebacking role is interesting. But at the same time, the Browns are going to be playing a lot of two linebacker sets because we do have Joe Schobert, and Kirksey is decent enough in coverage that, you know, we can do that as long as we have a good secondary, which we do.
I think the hope is that in the long run, Taki Taki or Wilson becomes a legit starter, because if they don't, the Browns are going to have start filling holes at linebacker.
Or they're going to have, or maybe both of them, because, you know, what if we can't pay Joe Schobert?
Yeah.
And when Joe Schobert leaves, or when Kirksey leaves, we're going to have to, one of those guys would have to start. Yeah. So those guys are the foundation. I think this year they'll get to see some action. It won't be a ton, which luckily they won't have to be pressed in, but I think they'll get put in position to succeed by Steve Wilks, because Steve Wilks has done a lot of work with linebackers in the past, so he knows what it takes to play linebacker in the NFL.
I think Taki Taki is going to be a complete terror on special teams.
Like I said, I think he's going to get ejected from a game.
On special teams, he's going to be a terror.
Because that's one of his things, is he plays violently, yeah. So he will hit someone hard and knock someone out at some point, yeah. And he will get tossed out of a game. So Browns fans, you're going to love him, but he's going to get kicked ass in games. Yeah.
I think the last spot that we're watching on the Browns, and I think it's one of the only spots that's a true area of concern.
My boy.
Is the kicking battle. And so
my boy Greg Joseph.
Greg Joseph last year, you know,
he was bad at extra points.
He missed quite a few extra points. And
it wasn't a bad field goal kicker.
The Browns picked Austin Seibert in the fifth round.
He's been terrible.
And there hasn't really been a clear reason why they picked him there, and he hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
I mean, you think if you draft a kicker in the fifth round, he's your starter guaranteed.
Well, he was like a really good college kicker, so that was the thought, is that, yeah, you know, he'll do that. But so was Roberto Aguayo, and, you know, don't draft kickers, everybody. Just don't. Unless it's like the seventh round, just don't.
Yeah.
Because, like, most kickers that are good are not drafted.
If one of these two kickers makes their kicks in the preseason, they'll probably be the kicker.
Although
that's the bar now.
And if not, then the Browns are going to either have to find a trade somehow, or they're going to have to find another guy off the street. They could be running into a situation like the Los Angeles Chargers did for a long time, where they're a good team that's held back by a crappy special teams, especially a kicker.
Yeah. Because the thing is the Browns are a good team. If the Browns lose,
lose games like that, yeah,
it's going to be upsetting.
If the Browns finish 9-7 and miss the playoffs by a game because Greg Joseph misses a 43-yard field goal and we lose, I'm going to be pretty mad. Yeah. So the kicking game matters. Like, if the Browns want to have these type of expectations, everything has to have good detail. Kicking matters. And we saw that last year. The Browns had two or three games they could have won that they lost because of kicking.
Yep.
Let's be real. The Browns could have won a couple games. They could have won that Steelers game week one. Didn't do it. They could have won that Raiders game at some point. Didn't do it. They could have won the Bucs game. Didn't do it. They have to have at least a kicking game that they know if they get themselves within 40 yards, they can make a kick.
Yep. Well, it's an unusual preseason for Browns fans because we're not worried about who's starting at quarterback.
It's a lot less drama.
It's a lot less drama. But there's still a lot of interesting things to watch in the preseason. A lot of guys could make the team if they step up or even become starters. So it's going to be a really intriguing preseason either way. And you know what? Having Browns football back is never a bad thing, especially this year.
Yeah. I mean, this is the year that we're going to be able to finally, you know, have some real optimism for the Browns as opposed to going into a game just hoping they don't get their butts kicked.
Yep.
So
we'll be back at some point soon with another Browns podcast, maybe after the first or second preseason game. You know, if anything exciting happens, we can definitely update you on that. Either way, we'll also have a season preview for you at some point, a more official preview to discuss kind of expectations and predictions and things of that nature. Also, another Red and Blue podcast will be coming soon.
We're actually going to be recording it after we finish recording this podcast.
Back-to-back podcast, baby.
Hey, when you're
so
on
what's
both.
So what's the topics for Red and Blue?
Well, transfer windows happened. So this year, all the players that have left and they're going to clubs, the deadline is coming up. So we're going to have news about that for each team. A lot in the Premier League. Oldham's team, Manchester United, made a lot of moves. We'll talk there. Talking about the season starts actually tomorrow for Premier League. So
yeah, soccer players have like no off season.
Well, soccer players, to make it really quick before we go, they play 37 games during the year, and that's just Premier League, and that's one a week. Yeah. And then they play other things during the week. So yeah, they don't have much, especially when they play internationally. So it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to be in the Premier League this year and the other leagues. So again, if you're a fan, please go ahead and check us out at Red and Blue. We're part of the Tree City Sports Podcast Network, and we really appreciate the listens both there and here at our flagship podcast.
We have football and football.
Yeah.
We got you covered.
And we got college football coming up too. So we can talk about Ohio State a little bit, bring Olam on to talk some Alabama, since those teams really are the two of the top three teams in the country right now by AP Top 10. So a lot of football will be coming your way. Basketball will be coming soon. This is we're getting into our good part of the year now.
We're getting into prime time.
The summer is a little bit of a lull, but we're going to get into, like Andrew said, we're getting into prime time when it comes to sports.
Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @abaker_sports. Graham is at GTMOHAN.
Yeah.
We will talk to you guys next time.
Peace.
Peace.